Switzerland is left reeling after a policy change drives its currency through the roof.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Until today, Switzerland had a policy that it would never let the euro fall below a specific floor. A euro would be worth 1.2 Swiss francs at the very least. But as the euro's value kept drooping with all the uncertainty of a Greek general election on the way, it was costing Swiss banking authorities a fortune to keep that floor in place. Today, without warning, Switzerland let go of the euro, and the franc shot up. Checking now, it's up 16.7% at the moment. The BBC's Imogen Folks is watching the shock in Geneva.
The franc has soared. The euro has plummeted. The pound has plummeted. There's a thing on Twitter at the moment. It's hashtag Francogeddon. And nobody, apart from the Swiss National Bank, seems to think that it can be good for anyone, not for the euro, which now becomes more unstable, and not for the Swiss economy, because Switzerland needs to trade with Europe.
Indeed, because let's say you are paid in sterling, and yet you're living in Switzerland and you have to pay your rent in francs, suddenly your rent got a lot more expensive.
Yeah, that's right. But I think if you look at it perhaps from the people who live and work in Switzerland, who are Swiss, who produce things that are priced in Swiss francs, a ski holiday, for example, all of those things just got 20-25% more expensive. And there are some very nervous, perhaps we could call them, doomsayers around who are suggesting that Greece might have something to do with this, has made the Swiss National Bank think, why are we keeping on buying euros to keep our currency weaker when the euro may be about to implode anyway?
All right. The BBC's Imogen Folks on the subject of what's being informally dubbed Swiss Francogeddon. She's in Geneva. Imogen, thank you.
Thank you.
Some real estate experts in the U.S. are now suggesting that America's terrible foreclosure crisis may be over by one key measure. Realty Track is out with its 2014 report on mortgage delinquencies, foreclosure auctions, and bank repos. And the rate at which Americans are losing their homes because they can't pay the mortgage is now back to pre-recession levels. But oh, what a long, strange trip it's been, as Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
Nearly 3 million homes were in foreclosure at the height of the crisis. It's down around 1 million now, like before the housing bubble burst, says Darren Bloomquist at Realty Track.
About 1% of all loans is the historic average that go into foreclosure, and I think actually we'll probably end up below that kind of as a reaction to what we've been through.
Fewer foreclosures because you need really good credit to get a mortgage these days, and a lot of buyers are hedge funds and other investors with really deep pockets. Attorney Catherine Olivetti works the real estate market in Hilton Head, South Carolina.
I called my clients smart, sophisticated, affluent, and broke.
Olivetti's handled hundreds of foreclosures and short sales on dream homes and retirement condos.
I have people that are coming in that are living on pensions. They've been ripping through their savings to keep the roof over their head. It's just the American way. They want to own that house. And they start crying.
Though she's quick to say things are getting better as the foreclosure crisis finally slips away. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Every once in a while, I need a reminder that explaining the gyrations of the stock market day to day can be like staring at clouds long enough to see faces or shapes of animals. After two strong surges upward a week ago, the S&P 500, for example, has been down 4 days in a row. So what, says Marketplace contributor and Washington Post columnist Alan Sloan. Good morning to you, Alan.
Good morning, David.
We keep using crude oil prices to explain everything on financial markets these days, and I'm getting a little confused. Dow is way up, it's because of the cheap price of oil. The Dow is way down because of the cheap price of oil. Have you noticed this phenomenon?
Of course I've noticed this phenomenon. Last week, I had a special laugh because Monday and Tuesday, the market tanked and it was oil and energy. And then Wednesday and Thursday, it went up exactly to where it had been starting Monday. And it was the same thing. It was oil. So if the market goes up, it's oil. If the market goes down, it's oil.
Well, it's, you know, look, low oil prices equals low gasoline and heating oil prices. This helps consumers. This helps businesses. The economy can grow. On the other hand, if you're in the business of oil, your stock's going to get hurt.
Right. Or if you've lent to oil companies, or if, like me, you own pieces of oil and gas pipelines, those things are going to get hit. Most of the volume is computers trading stocks with each other, yet we're still running around looking for a rational reason for something that probably is momentum and fear, stuff like that. A, you don't really know, and B, it doesn't sound good. You try to make a sound bite out of that.
Here's the argument, though, Alan, which is in trading rooms across the country, men and women are looking at these headlines about crude oil, and they're thinking, well, everyone's going to take that to be bad news. And they press the button based on that. Is that essentially the momentum argument that you're
– Well, that's part of the momentum argument. But then how do you explain that on some days it's considered good news and they press the other button? You tell me, David. I don't understand this. I mean, you're a longtime public radio person and educated. I'm a mere financial scribbler. You figure it out. I'm just not smart enough to do it.
Alan Sloan is a columnist for The Washington Post these days. Alan, thank you.
My pleasure to be here, David.
And so how'd you like to live in a world where you sucked at a nutrient liquid or goo so you could sit uninterrupted at your computer all day? A food-like product called Soylent is all the rage among techies. There's an open source part of this, a Soylent community where people share recipes for their suckable or drinkable meals. There's news now. The Soylent company's just attracted $20 million in new venture capital, so the stuff could be coming your way. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.